From Churchill Downs, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Good morning from Churchill, and finally, a pretty day and a fast racetrack. The morning session that was completed about an hour and 15 minutes ago, mostly gallops, one worker, my Miss Lily, who is a leggy thing, as we mentioned yesterday or Tuesday. Mark Hennig's filly with a nice, easy half mile, close quarters, close company, and happened to send Mark the half mile time, and perfect came back the answer. And so pull out all the classic lines. Just what we wanted. Just what we were looking for. Wouldn't trade places with anybody. All of the above, right? No, she's very nice. And the discussion around the Oaks continues to produce different potential players, at the very least. I think we know the leading candidates. But then beyond that, I think people considering everything. And that field, we're even closer. We drawn on Monday. The Derby horses, there was full contingent out there. And the Todd Bletcher horses that are here and, you know, out together in the morning. Sometimes over the years, Bletcher has sent out one or more of his Derby horses early, and he's not doing that here. He's had them out together as a group, and Magnum Moon, obviously the most recent exiter of a race, and Magnum Moon is very pretty high energy, and not in a bad way at all. And Magnum Moon didn't wait around. He came out, stood for a second, and off he went. And Magnum Moon, and then Audible, and Vino Rosso, and Noble Indy. And the Todd Bletcher, you got to make your own determination. Todd, with yesterday, you may have seen the very funny line. And when Todd allows himself to be off the cuff and relaxed, it can be very funny. And the interview came up. He said, just, you know, coming off of his second Derby win, he said he's happy not to have to be grilled about his Derby record. And then he noted Riley that he is 0-for-5 in the two races, the two Derbies that he won. So it's a pretty tough situation when you win two Derbies and five other horses contributed to what people consider an underachieving Derby record. I've never felt that way, because I've said many times that in some cases, when you look at the horses that Pletcher has brought here, win early, precocious two-year-old types that had really no business being Derby horses, but he got them there. And helped, in many cases, help build sire resumes and more. So I felt the same way years ago about Bobby Frankel's record. I remember writing a piece that going through Frankel when Frankel was 0-for-33, I believe, going before Squirtle Squirt won. And if you looked at the actual horses that Frankel had run in the Breeders' Cup, they were almost overwhelmingly long prices. And in fact, some of the board hits that he had with horses, in some ways, it was an overachieving resume, because they had no business necessarily being as close to winning as they did. So some of that is chafe, and some of that is wheat. you have to dig through and determine. You just can't look at a stat. You look at the Aidan O'Brien stat that people are, we brought up already this week regarding Mendelsohn and regarding O'Brien's dirt record. And people, we had the conversation coming out of Nick Luck's visit. And by the way, we were all keyed up about the royal baby. Forget the royal baby. How about the royal baby that Nick Luck and his wife had this morning? Congratulations to Nick and Lori, and I think a second daughter for the Lux. So I happened to catch that. So if you want to congratulate Nick, if you follow him on Twitter, send him and his and the family a hearty mazel tov. So anyway, back to the statistical element, and you have to take into consideration the motivation in a lot of cases that is involved. And when it's come to the Coolmore, the Ballydoyle team, and O'Brien, the horses that they've brought to the Classic, we just recently, even with the passing of Giant's Causeway, had this discussion. And, understand that taking a chance with horses that have been predominantly, building resumes and careers on the grass, running them on dirt in high-profile races in North America, has the chance to do what it did for Giant's Causeway and to create interest and demand. And Mendelsohn, with the pedigree that he has, Into Mischief, one of the hottest young sires, Beholder, one of the top race fillies and mares in recent years, being a sibling to them, obviously the Mendelsohn's long-term prospect to be the replacement in some cases. You would think, actually, Giant's Causeway's passing, that would only speed Mendelsohn toward the breeding shed. Speaking of breeding, and we'll get back to all the various gallopers and some of the noteworthy elements of the morning. Maybe get a little Mike Welch flash results from the morning when Mike comes back over. He's watching further workouts, and it is Thursday, so we probably have turf works out there this morning as well, usually about 9:45. So maybe we'll look for Mike in the third hour today and get some thoughts. Back to the breeding, obviously, day two of OBS to consider, and another very strong day. No seven-figure horses. We are looking maybe for one based on the conversation yesterday with Jessica Martini, but it didn't happen. But what did happen, however, was a good number of just strong 350 and up to 750 sellers, and in fact a record session day for OBS, almost $19 million on Wednesday, and that's the most that they've recorded. So even without seven figure sellers, there's been just a very brisk and solid 2 days so far, and halfway home. The top seller, the Lowe's, Bob and Luana Lowe, $750,000 for that Tappet colt out of Flaming Heart, bred by Winstar and Ron Winchell. The Winchell, the Winchell assembly line, unbelievable, that is only going to get more grandiose when Gunrunner starts to produce his babies. Unbelievable. And 750, and the Lowe's, who of course are probably still on a high from winning the Arkansas Derby, they have been active here. And you had Narvik International buying for Mr. Yoshida, $700,000 for the Spitestown colt that went 10 flat, and this one out of the lovely Glinda the Good. And, of course, yesterday when we had that conversation with Jess, this potential being a brother of good magic was going to be one of the major sellers on the day. This was a $200,000 Keeneland Yearling, and a $500,000 profit on the sibling of Good Magic by Spitestown. And Katsumi Yoshida, obviously regular presence, the Bloodstock sales. Hip 474, the Candy Ride out of High on the Hill. Justin Cassie takes this one home. Eddie Woods consigned. Niall Brennan consigned the Good Magic brother. And he also had the Tappet colt. You also saw a $700,000 purchase, the Malibu Moon Filly out of Just Joyful, that was bred by Mac Merhall and Haymarket Farm. Nick DeMerck consigned Speedway. So I would imagine that this filly, $700,000, that she ends up, a good chance that she ends up with Bob Baffert, potentially. She went 21 for the quarter. And this is the family of Boston Harbor, among others. And the filly happens to be out of a mare, a young mare, that's got three foals and no winners yet. And that's an interesting sidebar. To, you know, some people want to see mares that have already produced, but being by Malibu Moon and a sharp, what looks to be a sharp quarter, 21 flat. You also had a $650,000 filly that went to B. Wayne Hughes. Spendthrift buying the Into Mischief, supporting their stallion, the filly, for $650 out of Love of a Lifetime, and that was a filly that went 9-4 during the Breeze Show portion, and this one also out of a young mare that's only got one baby on the ground. In fact, one 3-year-old. That has yet to win as well. So, you know, these are horses when they're coming out of, you know, pages that are, you know, okay, but don't have a lot of sibling strength. Obviously, sibling strength on the Good Magic brother by Spitestown, but some of the others that's got to be on physical impression and on the way they breezed. And in fact, yesterday when we were going through some of the results, I mean, the, you know, some of the more obscure or, you know, lesser thought stallions, like the Big Drama purchased by Seth Klarman, and I think Seth bought a couple of other oddballs. He bought a Mark Valesky I saw as well. So you know, we've had this conversation. Dennis O'Neill, another that isn't going to worry about how fashionable the pedigree might be. What do they look like? How do they move? And what's the demand? How many other people are interested? So good, another very good day. And I didn't dig through all the day two results, but they will start again in about an hour and 15 minutes. And another handful of very notable hips today to keep an eye on. And that includes the half-brother of Malibu Moon himself. And this a hip 617 fairly early in the day. And then, as Joe Neville's discussed, you've got the Otsi Malibu Moon colt, hip 757. So there's a couple of diamonds that are buried in day three's sell-throughs, and we'll be watching later on today. A few other things to slip at you, and let me give you a quick rundown before we go to the break. In addition to the Thursday visits that include, got to get to Rich Eng today in hour three, and Tom Quigley, Quigley's Corner, later as well, but Steve Askin. And I'm trying to reach Tony. Tony was unavailable last week. And I want to want to get a Tony visit in. Pat Cummings will be here to talk Hong Kong. And it is, of course, the Champions card coming up this weekend. In addition, Gary Palmisano Jr. will be here to talk about what's gone on with the Churchill Downs Racing Club. It's just an amazing success. And the Warriors Club specifically, I mean, has really not just been a success for Churchill and the concept and the 200 people who have enjoyed this immensely, and the fact that he's become a graded stake winner, that's beside the point. His success, you know, being the first of the high profile racing club runners, helped trip interest throughout the game and around the country, fairgrounds, obviously a Churchill Downs sister track, but Fairgrounds has done it, Oaklawn is doing it, and more. So the concept, Warriors Club, to use a Seth Meyrow, lifted all boats, the rising tide in this case. And so we'll talk to Gary. They've got another one. They just launched another one yesterday. So we'll catch up with Gary Palmisano Jr. as well. After the first break, it is opening day at the horse park, and got to be very careful after saying a certain sponsored name for years and years and years for the four-star three-day event. It is now being sponsored by Land Rover. It's funny. Land Rover takes over, and not only does Land Rover take over as the sponsor of the former watch company three-day event, but here we're getting used to, we have to get used to the big chicken chain no longer associated by name with Derby. We got to get used to Woodford Reserve, and then we have to get used to the Turf Classic being Old Forester. It's pretty funny. So there's a new sponsor at the three-day event, and it starts today. In just a little while, Jen Reutz is going to join us, and Jen runs the Retired Racehorse Project, the Thoroughbred Makeover, the brainchild of Stuart Pittman. We have discussed from the moment Stuart initiated it, and it has been not just a success. I mean, sort of like the, in some ways, a little bit like the success of the racing clubs. But what has happened with the makeover is remarkable. And the retired off-the-track thoroughbreds that are competing in the three-day event is, you know, pretty steady, it seems, every year. And we'll talk to Jen about the participants and the background, who to watch for. And I've told you for years, I actually had forgotten here the last couple of weeks to bring it up, but the three-day event is so much fun, and Saturday in particular, when they run the cross-country course, it's like nothing you've ever seen. Yeah, as much as we love steeplechase, what's involved here with horses going over what feel like impossible barriers, it's amazing. A test of endurance and I mean the whole three-day event concept is basically a test of horse and rider and their relationship. Between the ring and all the three disciplines that are involved, and it's a decathlon for horse and rider. So we'll talk to Jen, and there's also a participant in the Oaks and on the weekend that is notable, Chocolate Martini, that Tom Amos filly, the upsetter in the Fairgrounds Oaks, she's running with the retired racehorse project in mind. They've pledged percentage of her purse. Very nice. So, we'll talk to Jen next. Then Pat Cummings, Gary Palmisano, Tony Black, Steve Haskin, Tom Quigley, and Rich Eng, and maybe more. And I still have got a stack of things here that I didn't get to. It's ridiculous. Opening day, by the way, at Prairie Meadows. Don't want to let that slip through the cracks. Got a nice little steak, the Goldfinch, to open things. And you know what? I'm going to give a push right now in case I don't want to forget for later. Gary Shearer and the Ullwellings. They've got Shakopee Town. The 9, 6-1. There's a lot of speed in this race. Might get a great, great trip under Mitch Merle. Back after this, Jen Reutz will talk about the 3-day event.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. San Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 25 into hour one, and coming up in, I guess, about a half an hour on day one of the Land Rover Kentucky three-star event. And Jen Reutz joins us from the Retired Racehorse Project, the Thoroughbred Makeover. And Jen, the first thing that is going to be, I don't know how many years it's going to take to stop saying the other name.
The Rolex, yeah, I know. Well, the arena they're competing in on Sunday is still the Rolex Arena, but I think after this year, people will get a little bit more used to saying the Land Rover. Land Rovers are worth a lot more than Rolexes in the grand scheme, so it might be a good thing.
Well, it's certainly the three-day event that every year I try to dedicate a segment to it, because people are heading this way, and whether they're going to be at Churchill for opening night or they're going to be at Keeneland today or tomorrow for the last couple of days, for me in particular, Saturday, the cross country is the most thrilling thing I think I've ever seen. And I go to steeplechase events, and of course we've got chasing at the flat tracks in Saratoga during the summer, but the show of coordination and endurance between horse and rider of the three-day event is just incredible. And with more and more off-the-track thoroughbreds involved, people in the racing side, I think, need to know what an accomplishment this is.
Yeah, I could not agree more with you. You know, cross-country, for people who aren't familiar with what the cross-country phase of these major world-class eventing competitions are, you know, it's jumping at speed over solid obstacles that are, you know, 4 and 5 feet high, wide, over banks, over trees, over, you know, through water. It's a feat that doesn't look like gravity would be your friend, you know? But so these horses are going over, you know, 3 to 4 miles of cross-country terrain, and there's people lining the course the entire way around at the Kentucky Horse Park and watching these horses jump over these jumps that are bigger than them. And I've talked to a lot of riders over the years just about, you know, where they feel like the warm bloods, who are known as being fantastic dressage horses and sport horses and show jumpers, how they compare to thoroughbreds when it comes to eventing, because people gravitate a lot toward thoroughbreds for eventing. And they say on cross country, you can really tell a difference because those warm bloods are a little bit heavier. And they tend to, you know, get a little bit more tired than the thoroughbreds. The thoroughbreds just love that easy, consistent gallop, kind of like a long distance turf race, basically. And they just, it's a lot harder to find a bottom in the thoroughbred. And that's why so many of the riders feel a lot more confident sometimes on a thoroughbred going into that phase than a warm blood.
Let's give everybody, for those that are unfamiliar, explain the three events over a course of 3 days and the scoring system and how a winner is chosen.
For sure. It's actually, even though it's called a three-day event, it's actually over the course of 4 days. So it starts today and it ends Sunday. The first 2 days are dressage, and that's basically the horse and rider showing off how well-trained in the nuances of different movements with the walk, trot, and canter these horses are. So a lot of people I've heard describe it as ballet on horseback. It's a lot of very specific movements. And basically shows that, you know, if you put a dime on the ground that was 100 yards away from that rider and ask them to come and step right on it with that horse's, let's say, left hind foot, they have enough control to be able to canter up to it and stop on a dime, literally. And so that's not part of this competition, but it's that kind of nuanced, specific approach to their training. So they show off all of these movements in dressage. And then the next day is cross country, and that really shows how much endurance these horses have. And they, you know, travel for, as I said, a couple miles across the country, cross country course, clearing more than 20 obstacles. They go through water. They jump over tables, solid tables. They jump over, you know, a bunch of different obstacles that would look very intimidating to any horse, and these horses do it boldly and smoothly and athletically. So they go through that phase, and then the Sunday they come back after having exhausted themselves on cross country, and then the day before really using their muscles to show these very controlled movements, they come back on Sunday and do stadium jumping, and that's basically show jumping in an arena over a course of jumps. So it's much smaller, much more controlled. It's not the flat-out gallops for, you know, a quarter of a mile between fences or more. It's more of a tighter, more traditional stadium course of, you know, 10, 12 jumps or more. They go through their first round of jumps, and they just have to be within a certain time. And then they, if they don't knock anything down, they can come back for the second round, which is the speed round. And it's basically whoever clears all of the jumps in that second course the fastest wins that round. And then based on any faults they got, whether it's refusals or time faults in cross country, and whether, you know, whatever their dressage score was, that's scored on basically all of their different movements that they have to complete and show the judges. They combine all three scores in all three phases of the competition to give you your winner on show jumping day after that phase is over.
The strengths of each area. I mean, what kind of horse traditionally? Where do they traditionally excel and run up the score, basically? Because it's a rare eventer that is going to be completely dominant in all three areas.
Correct. Yeah, that's very true. You know, it depends on the horse, and I know a lot of people say, and to some extent it's true, you know, get to that level, especially since she is a horse that ran right alongside them. So they offered to donate 5% of anything she wins to the Retired Racehorse Project, and they've been huge supporters of us. So we're really excited to cheer her on, and you could not have a better name to be cheering for than Chocolate Martini. I have a feeling a few of those will be enjoyed over the next couple days.
Well, we enjoy these conversations, and this is, to, from my perspective, you know, such a great success. We have equestrian life discussions with Leslie Knopf, and a real pleasure, Jen, to get you on and talk about the off-the-track thoroughbreds competing this week at the Horse Park. And for those of you that have never visited TB Makeover, go to the website and look forward to the competition at the Horse Park in October, first week in October this year, and in and of itself has become a spectacle and a gigantic success. Jen, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having us on, Steve.
Not at all. Jen Reutz, everybody. And I'll reiterate the point is, we go to the break and be joined by Pat Cummings next. We'll go to Hong Kong. But the fundraiser and the event coming up at Laurel, and this is on May 9th. For Stuart Pittman, and it's called Wine and Equine. The Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association and the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Wednesday, May 9th, 5 to 7 in the paddock at Laurel. And I'm going to send out the links to the information. And Stuart is in the process of running for the Anne Arundel County Executive position, and he could not be a better candidate for the office. And we're going to certainly get Stuart on. What he accomplished for second career thoroughbreds with the Makeover, and you can go to retiredracehorseproject.org. You can go to TB Makeover as well, another option. Come and look what they're doing. It's a huge success, and it's grown exponentially every year. And as it happens, George Ann Hale from Laurel, Maryland Jockey Club, she signed on early, and Maryland Jockey Club opened themselves to
the project and hosted the first couple of competitions, and now it's gotten so big that it's at the Horse Park. October 4th to 8th, I think, is the dates this year. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Pat Cummings is going to join us. Big weekend coming up at Chatin, and then Gary Palmisano, Tony Black, Steve Haskins, so much more. We're live at Churchill Downs. Back after this.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Naira Bets is your online home for horse racing and betting. With Naira Bets, you can play hundreds of tracks from anywhere at any time using your computer or mobile device. Players earn points on bets and build their bankroll with exclusive promotions. Naira Bets is available across the United States. Visit NairaBets.com for details and make sure to enter promo code BIC100 during registration to qualify for the $100 sign-up bonus. That's NairaBets.com, promo code BIC100. NairaBets, racing's best play.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Bringing down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South End when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run. Up past the prison to the seafront, you climbed the cliff edge and took the plunge.
We're back at the races, about 5 minutes to the top of the hour, standing by Hong Kong, Pat Cummings, and looking forward to the big action at Chatin, the Champions Day. We've been building up to it. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It's been an eventful week here in Hong Kong, and the big three races to come on Sunday. So grade one action, group one action. It should be a fantastic day.
Well, one of the bigger, where does it rank on the schedule in terms of the biggest days? Obviously,
I'd say this is probably the second biggest day of the season. You know, HKIR in December would be number one. I'd say this is number two. Hong Kong Derby is a big day. Everything builds up to it through the four-year-old series, but it is more of a domestic meeting as opposed to an international meeting, although it is growing in stature globally. Ryan Moore coming over and winning it this year on a, you know, the way that Ping Hai Star did that was got a lot of added attention, certainly. But you know, it's the number two day on the calendar, and it's the first time that all three Group One races have been put together. So we'll have the Champions Mile, the Chairman's Sprint Prize, and then the Audemars Piguet Queen Elizabeth II Cup. So 1600 meters, 1200 meters, and 2000 meters, the mile and a quarter, races 6, 7, and 8 on Sunday. Now, if you normally are paying attention to the racing here, you notice that, you know, we normally have 11, 12, 14 horses in a lot of races. These fields did not fill. You know, as we've talked about, Steve, you know, Aidan O'Brien didn't think his horses came out of Dubai all that well, and he didn't want to take the chance of traveling them. And so his three didn't come, and a couple Japanese did not make the trip. And so we only have four overseas horses here. But what these races lack in terms of depth of quantity, the quality is very strong. There is no, as legendary South African breeder Mick Goss would say, there's no dross here. It's all meat on the bone. And I think it's going to make for some really fascinating races. You know, there's nothing too quirky about any of these races that if any, just about any horse throughout the card could maybe, you know, could win in these spots. And it makes for some really good betting. And, you know, it's going to be a great day of sport here on Sunday.
Well, let's dive in and talk them up.
The first is... Go ahead, Steve, sorry.
No, just talk them up. Champions Mile, first of the three.
All right. The Champions Mile, race six. This is 18 million Hong Kong dollars, so that's about 2.3 million U.S. Field of eight. There were nine that entered, but Helene Paragon was withdrawn this morning, lame in his right four. And field of eight will go postward here. Tactically speaking, number one, Beauty Generation, the Hong Kong Mile winner. He's drawn gate number one for Zach Purton. I think it makes him very dangerous. There's not a lot of pace in this race on paper. And I think that, you know, Beauty Generation is going to take all of the catching. Now, is anybody perhaps going to go forward and challenge him? I think number six, Blizzard, could be forwardly placed. Karis Teton will ride Blizzard. It doesn't look like a jockey change, but it is a jockey change. Nashua Willer was scheduled to ride Blizzard. I'll talk more about that later. Blinker's coming off of Blizzard in this race. He had them on in Japan, but he's been running over 1,200 meters, and now he's going to step up to the mile trip, presumably an easier spot in the mind of trainer Ricky Yu. He could be forwardly placed, stretching out the extra quarter mile. But otherwise, there are not a lot of horses in this race that want to be right there on the choo-choo. And I think that that gives a tactical advantage to Beauty Generation. Now, Southern Legend went forward last time, Steve, and walked the dog on the front end with Chad Schofield aboard. Kieran McAvoy coming in from Australia, he will have the ride for trainer Casper Founds. He's capable, but he basically took advantage of a completely paceless race last time. I don't think he's a legitimate pace presence in here. Ping Wu Spark, the biggest horse in Hong Kong, all 1,340 pounds of him. He could be close, but, you know, for me, Beauty Generation is the one they have to catch. Now, the two horses that I do like, who I think could be the catchers, it's been a long season for Beauty Generation. So there's two that I think are really prime for this. Number three, Seasons Bloom, and number nine, Singapore Sling. Now, Seasons Bloom, Joe Marrera, he tends to sit mid-pack. does seasons bloom. He's been given a freshman 2 months out of the Hong Kong Gold Cup, and it was really in the plans to do that, but in particular, of course, where trainer Danny Shum said earlier in the year, you know, he really does need some time and hasn't really been one to quickly wheel back horses, but he did wheel him back out of the Jockey Club Mile and the Hong Kong Mile 3 weeks, and it was his worst performance of the season. They gave him 6 weeks into the Stewards Cup, the Group 1, and he wins. A month into the Hong Kong Gold Cup, third beaten a length over 2,000 meters, which is not his ideal trip. They've given him 2 months off. He's ready to go. And Joe Marrera, in our David Morgan story that was posted earlier today, capturing Joe Marrera, who said very clearly, this is the best that this horse has been. So I think Seasons Bloom will be tough, but he just has to be a little closer to the pace. And then the second chance for me is Singapore Sling, who is actually coming into this race more lightly tested than many others, coming through the Classic Series, second in the Derby. He was a winner of the Classic Cup, second in the Classic Mile. Back to the mile distance, he was only beaten by Ping Hai Star in the Hong Kong Derby. I think Singapore Sling could be handy to this, but I think a win it might just be a little bit too much for him at this point in his career and development, still being a young four-year-old Southern Hemisphere bred. So I'm going to go Seasons Bloom on top of Singapore Sling and Beauty Generation in the Champions Mile.
That's followed by the Chairman's Sprint Prize.
Yeah, and this is where I'll mention the story about Nashua Willer, Steve. Nashua Willer was the regular rider of Mr. Stunning, who is probably the favorite in this race. If not the favorite, he'll be a very close second choice. May have seen the news that came out yesterday. Nashua Willer disqualified by the stewards of the Hong Kong Jockey Club for a period of 15 months. There were two charges laid for rules violations involving betting and tipping. For pecuniary and gifts and the like, and he was found guilty on both counts and disqualified with a 15-month penalty for both, but to be served concurrently. So it's really been a bit of a shock to the system here in Hong Kong, not a shock to the way in which things operate and the measures which are in place with the Jockey Club. Those have clearly come to the fore. But just a shock to lose the jockey, the third leading rider here in Hong Kong. You can certainly find more about the stories online, and the South China Morning Post has covered it extensively. But if you want to look back through the tweets yesterday, the full reports are published there, HKJC_racing. 1,200 meters the trip in the Chairman Sprint Prize. Field of nine going forward here. John Size. He's only got five horses in the race, Steve, and all five are in with a chance. There's two horses here coming from overseas, both of them Godolphin. Blue Point coming out of Charlie Appleby's Dubai String and Fine Needle for Japan, but it's the Japan Godolphin String. The rest of them are Hong Kong-based. As I mentioned, Size has five, including the Progressive Eye Victory, who was a course record holder at Happy Valley, lowering a mark. It stood for nearly two decades. Lucky Bubbles is back. He won this race a year ago, and trainer Francis Loy has entered him for the Diamond Jubilee at Royal Ascot, where he could face a host of horses, including potentially Lady Aurelia. Brett Preble will ride, getting back aboard this horse, who he's had been successful with in the past. Spectacular race, but I think it still goes through John Size. They have to beat Mr. Stunning or beat the clock. The two horses who in the Sprint Cup earlier this month were separated by only a neck. Mr. Stunning's been a model of consistency this year, and Sam Clipperton will now get aboard the esteemed young Australian jockey who just doesn't seem to get enough opportunities. I really fancy Sam quite a bit, and it's good to see him get the ride here. But between Mr. Stunning, beat the clock, Eye Victory, I think it might be coming too soon for Eye Victory. Fascinating edition of the race, very high-quality edition of the race. If an overseas horse were to win, I'd give it to Blue Point, who I think is a sharper sprinter than Fine Needle. Blue Point scratched as the favorite at the gate in the before the Alcoz sprint after the vet behind the barriers noticed some blood trickling from his nose. Unfortunate. I mean, he was basically odds on and withdrawn at the gate. They won the race anyway, but the way Charlie Appleby spoke, he really made it very clear that Blue Point was his horse for the day. They won anyway, but imagine what it could have been if Blue Point was there. So, in fact, if he wins that race, he probably doesn't come here. They have high hopes for him. He's batted about the best of company. I will tell you this, Steve. He's going to be a big price on the tote because the locals will ignore him, and I think you're going to get double digits on a horse who was right there with Harry Angel, Caravaggio, yeah, and the like. This is one of those horses, Steve, that we've talked about a long time on these days, that 12 to 1 is not out of the realm of the possible on this horse. And he might be bettable purely from the sense of just an overlay, because all of the attention, Mr. Stunning, Beat the Clock, Eye Victory, Lucky Bubbles. There's just no room on the tote for all of them.
Well, I can tell you that he's third choice in the British shops. He's third choice behind Mr. Stunning and Beat the Clock.
Yeah, 5-6 to 1, I think, were the numbers I saw. Maybe even,
even less now, down to 11 to 2. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, it's that's just not going to fly here. Mr. Stunning and Beat the Clock are going to be 2 to 1, 5 to 2, maybe. Okay. In what's only a nine-horse field. I think Eye Victory's staring down 5-6 to 1. Lucky Bubbles is staring down 9-2, 5-1, maybe. Worked the House down, had a great barrier trial against Hot King Prawn, who I might add is back in race number 9 on Sunday. Where do you go? I mean, the chances just aren't there. Penophobia is going to be the longest shot on the board. The Wizard of Oz and Amazing Kids will be big prices. But the movement just isn't there, Steve. The numbers don't add up. So I would be very surprised if Blue Point. And here's the other thing. The locals in Hong Kong know Fine Needle more than they know Blue Point, because we simulcast that Takamatsu Namiya Kinen. We saw that. We had a Hong Kong horse in the race, which is more than we can say about the Maidan Sprint. The locals here know the Japanese form more than they know that Dubai form. They might actually even rate Fine Needle shorter than Blue Point. It's possible. So keep a very close eye on the tote on Sunday for race 7, the Chairman's Sprint Prize.
I like it. The Queen Elizabeth and every corner of the globe, it seems that the
everyone has one.
Everybody's got a Queen Elizabeth, whether they were a long-standing colony or not.
Yeah, correct. Whether they were members of the Commonwealth or parted ways long time before. We had one very interesting thing happen here today, and anybody that wants to go can go watch it. The Periscope on Twitter of this morning's track work. Because the Japanese 2000 Guineas winner, the Satsuki Show winner, Al Ain, came out this morning and was on the track for 57 minutes, Steve. He came out recalcitrant, and he went home recalcitrant. He came out on the turf. The goal was to jog him around to about the 800-meter mark and break off to do a 4-furlong work. And he refused and was bucking through the rider at one point, whose foot got stuck in the irons, but he held on to the reins. He was all over the place, Steve. They actually have two grooms with him, both of whom ride the horse, but one more regularly than another. This, by the way, Steve, Elaine is a son of, he's out of Dubai Majesty, the Philly Mare sprint winner from maybe 8 years ago or so. Jamie Terrio, I think, wrote. So they do a lap of the course of this horse just kind of bucking, kicking, and just not breaking off. They come down. That doesn't work. So they say, hey, guys, can we go over to the dirt track? Does a lap of the dirt track, Now, that doesn't work either, so let's turn them around and try and go left-handed instead of right. We're going to go the other way. Nah, same thing, behaving in exactly the same fashion. They switch the rider on the track. First time I think I've ever seen that in the middle of trying to work. That didn't do much. They said, let's go back on the grass. They come back to the grass course. They duck and dive down the home stretch, never really stretching out, and say, we're going to work the wrong way down the home stretch of the grass course. 30 years, the track man here, Paco Ip, has been here. He's never seen it, 30 years. Alain turned around. They tried to get him to go down, didn't really do that. Then it became an interval work. They brought him back down to the top of the stretch, or excuse me, to the end of the home straight, turned him around, and he galloped 800 meters down into the 1,000-meter shoot start. Okay? We actually got a clock on him, and he went 26.6, 28.2 for a wrong-way work on the grass course here at Sha Tin, the first that our track man that's been here 30 years has ever seen. So hopefully that doesn't happen during Derby and Oaks works this week. I don't think it will. That said, Steve, fascinating race. And we thought Pakistan Star was a strange horse, right? But we've got the Pakistan Star angle in here. We've got Ping Hai Star. We've also got the course record holder, Time Warp, who was just absolutely a beast at 2,000 meters this season, won the Hong Kong Cup, won the Gold Cup, and now he's back to his 2,000-meter trip. He has two 10th-place finishes sandwiched around those 2,000-meter wins, very different races they were, and there's a quandary here. Is Time Warp simply finished for the season? Has he done too much? Did that 2,000-meter course record performance take enough out of him, or does he just want the two turns now? It's a very tough scenario to determine. Ping Hai Star is going in against Open Company and classy Open Company for the first time, having come out of the Hong Kong Derby, an impressive winner, when he got a massive setup. Is that going to be replicated here? I just don't think so. It's a small field. Time Warp is surely pace. Dan Barite, the Japanese, second Japanese horse in the race, he is pace, but I don't know what we're going to see there. Pakistan Star, he's tough to trust. And then you've got Dinazzo, Gold Mound, Eagle Way, decent horses on their day, but they seem a little outclassed. So it's a tough call. Prior to this morning, Steve, I would have said Alain because he was perfectly fine on the track the last couple of days. Just incredibly recalcitrant this morning and turns a lot of people off. He's about 7-2 on the European markets.
Yep.
I don't think he'll be that much higher here, Steve, 4-5-1. He will be higher, but especially considering how much attention this has gotten. So Alain would have probably been my pick before today, but I think I'm just going to stick with Time Warp. I think he could just bottom the field out and take them all the way. It's not a strong play by any stretch, but a fascinating edition of the Queen Elizabeth II Cup on a really, really fun day in Hong Kong on Sunday.
Pat, what time does everything start? The pick three, particularly the three races.
The first of the day is 12:45 a.m. Eastern, 9:45 p.m. Pacific on Saturday, Sunday morning in New York. And the Champions Mile will be the first of the three Group 1s. That is due to jump 3:20 a.m. Eastern time, just after midnight Pacific, and then the three races will go consecutively. If you can't watch it on TV, we'll be live streaming it. It'll be on Twitter, live stream through Periscope, on our website. All three of the races, just one constant stream, so you can catch that as well. And if you're watching on TVG or through your ADW, Race 9 has that return of that really, really sensational, unbeaten Hot King Prawn, and he's looked fantastic in his morning work. So there's something to stick around for there as well. Great day coming up.
It's a top to bottom, and Pat, I appreciate it, and I should mention you – I guess I'm going to guess you were listening. Jen Reutz, when she just heard that she just sent me a note that she wanted me to make sure to send regards, that you guys are friends for years.
I did hear, and I was smiling to think that I'd be on after. She's great.
Excellent. Well, it's a big world, but it's a small industry, and that should be a terrific night at Sha Tin. And I appreciate it as always. And we'll get some Derby thoughts from you in addition to the recap when we talk next week.
Look forward to it, Steve. Talk to you then.
Pat Cummings, HK, everybody. Hong Kong Jockey Club. Let's take a break. 15 into hour two. Gary Palmisano Jr. standing by. And got a very funny long-running joke when it comes to Palmisano Senior and Junior, because I don't have them distinguished in my phone. So I'll get a text and it'll say Gary Pal, and I'll think, oh, it's got to be Junior. Then I write back, nope, it's Gary Senior. Let's take a break. We'll talk about the Churchill Downs Racing Club, the phenomenal success, and the headache that Gary has caused management here at Churchill, because there's going to be 700 people looking to get into the winner's circle should Warriors Club win come next weekend. But plenty of opportunity for people to get involved with a new Churchill Downs Racing Club. And as I mentioned, the success of Warriors Club has created a cascade throughout the industry. Oaklawn and Fairgrounds and so many other venues that are participating and inviting people to get into the game at a very low cost. And we'll talk about how many people, and we've discussed this before, just the experience that we've had at DT, of people wading in with the low cost option and then getting a taste, understanding it, and then becoming owners on their own and getting involved in bigger ways. Gary Palmisano Jr. joins us next. Steve Haskin, Tom Quigley, Rich Ang. We'll try to get Tony in here. Mike Welch is back from the clocker stand as well. We're live at Churchill Downs, SiriusXM coverage leading to Derby 144 and Oaks 144 next Friday and Saturday, a week away from Thurby. Crazy Thurby. Back after this with Gary.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.